Welcome to episode 2 of Hyperchange Breaking News, your home for stories from the future. Today, we're going to be kicking it off with a continuation of the OpenAI versus Elon Musk drama. So now Elon Musk is saying that he plans to open source Grok to really raise the bar for what these AI companies should be doing as the intensity heats up for the lawsuit against OpenAI.
Elon was getting a lot of flack for Grok being an XAI being closed source when he was blaming OpenAI for being closed source. Now with Elon pushing XAI and Grok to be open source, the ball's really in OpenAI's court about what they're going to do.
And I think this sets the bar for all AI companies. You know, if Grok starts open sourcing, then that really is a new standard. And then in other news here, this is really fascinating and exciting. Are we witnessing a paradigm in the global reserve currency as Bitcoin goes to all-time highs in USD? And let's not forget, is also in all-time highs in pretty much every single currency in the world. With a $1.5 trillion market capitalization right now, Bitcoin over 70,000 a Bitcoin, massive rally so far in 2024. Bloomberg saying 1,500 new millionaires are getting created every day who hold Bitcoin. I mean, this is just a fascinating rise for this decentralized algorithmic blockchain currency.
You know, what's interesting about this rise as apparent that's different from 2021 is in 2021, there was all this hype. There's all these meme coins. It was a lot of like a retail investor movement. And it really felt like we were at an all-time high when we were like Bitcoin was rising and stuff like that. But now it's almost quietly just slowly becoming 70,000, 80,000, 100,000. And it's just kind of like, yeah, it's happening. And people are a bit more reserved about it.
And I heard once Bitcoin described as the most successful financial experiment of all time. And I feel like that becomes more and more true every day. You know, say what you will about Bitcoin, hundreds of millions of people owning it, it being worth $1.5 trillion. It's hard to deny the success of Bitcoin on many levels. Speaking of one of the reasons why Bitcoin has been doing so well, the global reserve currency up to this point, the US dollar, which has reigned supreme for so long, is rapidly printing more and more dollars. This chart shows the time it takes to print $1 trillion USD. Used to be years. Then it was shrinking down. Now it's just about 90 to 120 days. So we're printing at a rate of almost $4 trillion per year. So you think about Bitcoin being worth $1.5 trillion. I mean, the US government's printing multiples of that every single year. Gold is worth $14 trillion. There's about $100 trillion in global assets, rapidly rising as USD continues to print. So Bitcoin is still, you know, kind of a small drop in the bucket when you put it into the context of how much the government is printing money. And I think this tweet by Jason here is really fascinating about how this is a huge issue among voters. You know, all of us Americans are watching inflation rise, money printing accelerate, Bitcoin take off, but our government appears to be asleep at the wheel. They have no plan to fix this. And it seems like it's really difficult to get any sort of structural change that would change the trajectory of essentially rapidly accelerating devaluation of the dollar.
Yeah, and keep in mind the dollar used to be pegged to gold in 1971. That was switched by Nixon. And so once we didn't have something that was kind of backing up our dollar, it was essentially infinite money that the Federal Reserve could control. It'd be like a crypto project has basically unlimited tokens that it could create. And that's basically what the US government is doing. And the issue is that our expenditures are continuing to rise. No one wants to cut the key things like Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. And so the budget just keeps going up and our revenue is not keeping up with it. So if this was a business, this would not be a well-run business. I mean, there's clearly a deficit every single year, which is why the government needs to keep spending and raising money and creating more money in the world.
And in the stock market, you know, you'd call it dilution. Where you just print more and more of your currency, you know, your equity to try and fund your business. That's essentially what the US government is. It's an unprofitable company that prints its own currency to fund that gap. And then we all get diluted. You know, our dollars buy less and less as they get diluted. So I don't know how to fix this, but I wouldn't want to own the US if it was a stock. And the AI boom keeps going. Aiden, what are we looking at here?
So a company just founded in 2022, or about 2 years ago, just raised $106 million from Salesforce, NVIDIA, at over $1 billion valuation. I mean, I definitely don't think their revenue numbers can justify that, but that just shows you just about how big people think this AI opportunity is. What Together AI is doing is basically connecting the GPUs on one side, hence NVIDIA investing in them, and the open source models like Llama that's coming out of Facebook, and allowing a company that's creating generative AI, think of Pika, which is one of the customers of Together AI, basically have lower costs of compute and training data so that it can bring the generative AI videos, music, whatever it is, to consumers at a cheaper cost.
We'll see if they can live up to the hype here. Always tough to know whether it's, you know, a strategic move by these companies or they're just trying to FOMO in. Really hard from looking at the outside in. I thought this was a really interesting AI startup news. Devin raising $21 million to build the first AI software engineer. You know, we've all felt like this is coming, but the demos here showing it code, debug code, deploy code, it feels like this is a big step in sort of the autonomy of what these AI software engineers can do.
Just shows us that, you know, it might be a few years from now when you can just, anyone can type in something to Devin and it will bring you back an application, whatever you want. That code is becoming as easy to use as language. The AI revolution continues with new startup Physical Intelligence being announced with a $70 million financing. This company is essentially creating general purpose AI for the physical world. What this means is that they're trying to create a software foundation that can be used across various hardware products. You know, this is very early. The company just got announced. We don't really know too much yet, but a lot of the founding team came from Google DeepMind and OpenAI. So it's really interesting what they've been able to attract with talent, and we'll see what they can actually do.
Fascinating to see all these chips being put down. It seems like there's a clear gold rush here for the AI revolution. Everybody knows it, but who knows where the value is going to accrue? That's the tricky part. And one of the other startups we've been watching, Figure, keeps going with their hype train, their OpenAI partnership, which is allowing them to understand sort of speech and thought. And a human to be able to talk to the robot powered by OpenAI has unveiled this new video.
Hey, Figure One, what do you see right now?
I see a red apple on a plate in the center of the table, a drying rack with cups and a plate, and you standing nearby with your hand on the table.
Great, can I have something to eat?
Sure thing.
Pretty fascinating stuff. Hard to know how legit it is with it being a demo and, you know, this being a lot of hype around it, but it seems like Figure is kind of quickly emerging as the biggest competitor to the Tesla bot.
One of the things that we've seen from the video so far is dexterity, physical movement, but we haven't seen robots speak yet. So that's what's interesting about this video, is just to see the language. Seeing the robot actually talk is pretty trippy experience. It feels a lot more lifelike.
Then in other news, Boeing. What is going on at Boeing? Whistleblower was found dead. That's prompting a ton of conspiracy theories to go along with all the problems that Boeing planes are having right now. This comes at a time when demand for planes is higher than ever, but this duopoly of Boeing and Airbus are the only two companies who can meet demands. And it really seems like Boeing is slipping, falling behind Airbus. You know, I'm about to get on a plane. I am praying that is not a Boeing Max, just honestly as a consumer. So I feel like things are getting pretty dire right now.
Yeah, it's hard to tell if these issues are, you know, always been there, or if we're starting to see them more come to light with social media and things like that. Maybe it's a little bit of both, but clearly Boeing has been cutting corners, whether that's to ensure that they can meet their production goals, to ensure that they meet their shareholder demands. So we'll see, but this is really concerning when, you know, our enduring institution, Boeing, who makes our commercial planes that powers the transportation airline industry in our country, is having these type of issues consistently. They really need to kind of get their act together, or there needs to be some competition.
And that brings us to our next news, which is Boom Supersonic, the jets company that is trying to build a supersonic plane here, is getting ready for its first launch. Aiden, how close are they to be actually competing with Boeing?
This company is much more of a faster airline than what has ever been made before. It's doing something called supersonic, which means it goes Mach 1 speed. This is faster than the speed of sound. But really, they've been working on this for 10 years, and what they're about to unveil in the next few weeks here or months is the first time that they launch their plane. So we'll see if they can, you know, be successful with this launch, if it works, Then they have to scale it up to commercial size and really do a lot of testing there. They're planning to be ready by 2026. Maybe one day, maybe in the 2030s, that this could start to rival Boeing, but we're definitely a long way off from that happening.
But very cool to see innovation in this space. And it just kind of shows how hard it is to actually get a startup like this off the ground. Got to be one of the, probably, if not the most difficult, one of the most difficult, just to build a passenger aircraft. So much goes into that.
And what's fascinating, though, is there's so much appetite, too. You know, they have a partnership with United Airlines, American Airlines, all these airline companies want to buy new planes. But like you're saying, there just hasn't been a new company that can commercialize them. So, there's a lot of market demand.
And that's what's so interesting is like the demand, the everybody wants new planes, but they can't get them. And that's why I think it's so easy for these other airlines and Boom Supersonic to get all these partnerships going, because every airline is desperate for it, which was giving me another idea of, you know, is this the moment for Tesla to announce Tesla Aviation? The battery density, difficult for long haul flights, but, you know, the startup deal flow we're seeing, electric airplanes are becoming more and more of a thing. And I think with Tesla's leading the edge in terms of efficiency and battery size, if anybody was going to be able to bring a short haul commercial passenger plane to market, it would be Tesla. And I think maybe it's early, you know, maybe it would take 5 or 10 years, but I think it would be really cool to see Tesla announce Tesla Aviation and start kind of manifesting a new made in the US plane company.
And who knows, maybe it could come with the Roadster, which we talked about last week. It said it could fly, you know, the collaboration with SpaceX. Maybe that's their Tesla Aviation product. And speaking of SpaceX and rockets, though, Starship is planning for their third launch later this week. This is extremely exciting because Starship is the largest rocket ever created by height and the payload that it could bring to low Earth orbit. And this is eventually the rocket that SpaceX is planning to help get us to the moon and Mars. The first two flights resulted in explosions, but we got a lot of data from them, helped SpaceX engineers learn about what went wrong, how to make it better. And that's a lot of those learnings are all going into this third launch that's coming up.
And it's so cool to see SpaceX building in public like this. I mean, I would have felt like back in the day, NASA would have been relied upon, the government would have been relied upon for the space age. Now to see it, you know, a U.S. private company bringing jobs and technology back to our country, you know, revitalizing our space program, it can't understate how exciting that is. And how kind of proud it makes me to be American to see us at the forefront of this technology. And it's important to remember, you know, Starship always blows up the first few times. That's why there's nobody on it. You know, SpaceX is testing this technology before they send astronauts to Mars, figuring out what goes wrong, letting us join in on this journey of them bringing to market the most advanced and reusable rocket that the world has ever seen. So extremely exciting for all of those who are hoping for a new space era for humanity. Which brings us to our startup of the week, Xtropic. Very cool new chip company started by Beef Jezos, who you may know as the head of the EAC movement, or EACC, the Acceleration Movement to Accept AI and Cutting Edge Technology. He got doxxed by Forbes, sort of a legend in the tech community, rapidly rising in prominence, was on the Lex Fridman podcast. And he isn't just this big hype guy on Twitter. He actually has been in stealth running this incredibly advanced chip company. He also is an extremely accomplished engineer himself, but his new chip company here, Xtropic, with insane potential to build this new chip that actually leverages the power of physics instead of fighting against it in what could be an NVIDIA competitor long term. So very interesting, as we know chips are sort of the spice that powers the AI. Aiden, what's your take here? What's Xtropic doing? What's the potential?
Well, I think for AI to really go mainstream, we need to get the cost of computing down. And that's what we're seeing a lot, whether that's with Together AI or various other companies, is that unless we can get what it takes to create a new image or something down, these business models are never going to make sense. And so what Xtropic is trying to do is to create the most efficient computer in the universe, which is an extremely ambitious goal. But if they're able to pull this off, this would compete with NVIDIA, like you're saying, and it would be kind of the gold standard as the chip for the AI revolution and to saturate the universe with intelligence.
And we've got our AI image of the week here, looking like a space bar. We've got a couple astronauts enjoying some drinks, looking out at an epic future where we're among the stars here. I love how relatable this one is, but also how epic of a future it kind of alludes to.
Yeah, the first bar in space is definitely going to pop off. That's for sure. So can't wait to see that.
See you out there, folks.